Have you ever been Blue Jay drunk out in Newfoundland?
Well, I like the bush party part of it. This is no one's quite sure how that got into Mooney's head, but yes, bush party.
See, like if Munenori Kawasaki was from Kindersley, then I would get that he digs a bush party. You know,
exactly. That's exactly right. You know, look where I grew up as a kid.
Yeah, guys that I ran with in high school. I mean, that was throw some tires on there and let's get it going. Somebody back up their truck and put the speaker in the back sliding window and let's get at this. I didn't think they'd do that when Kawasaki was a young lad.
You think that would be frowned upon in Japan? The little bit I know about things over there, that doesn't seem to me. But somehow it got planted in his head, obviously. He's a strange and mysterious human being, but it's in certain moments it's kind of fun to have him around. I'd rather have him doing that than actually playing. I think you don't actually want him on the field.
He's a mascot!
Well, he is the mascot, yeah. And I'm not sure how... Sometimes I wonder if the other guys are amused by him or annoyed by him or that's enough, Mooney. It's watching him play yesterday. He came in, he scored a run with that magnificent slide, and then came into the dugout. They didn't seem to be super happy for him. Yeah. Maybe because they were all hungover.
Not
they
really
did look
rallying
very hungover yesterday.
Yeah, I think the answer to that one is yes. We do love him. He is fun to have around. He is too much. We need him to tone it down. But that's part of what this team is, right? There's many different characters in there, and I would guess if you're R.A. Dickey or Mark Burley watching Stroman jump around like he's high as a kite, then you're probably like, oh boy, he could probably calm down. But they all seem to get along.
Yeah, well, winning makes everybody very tolerant. That's, I think, and losing has the opposite effect. So it's, it's a good time. It's a good season. Everybody loves everybody. And, I think they tolerate each other's eccentricities a lot because they're about to head to the postseason. So, we've seen enough teams where I've seen teams where guys, loved each other and they lost. I've seen teams where guys hated each other and they won. Yeah. So I know this is the year of chemistry. And if you talk to Alex Anthopoulos, he'll tell you about how he kind of had an epiphany that you have to put guys together who are decent people, or at least they're all committed to the same cause. That was the big lesson he learned the last couple of years. But I don't know. If I go back to those 92 and 93 teams, my memories are slightly blurry, but I don't, as I recall, it wasn't all kumbaya there, that there was kind of cliquey and, some guys liked some guys and some guys hated some guys, but those teams were really, really good and they won two World Series.
Well, I know we talked about it the minute that they added Russell Martin. You're getting a catcher and you're getting a guy with World Series experience, but you're getting a leader. I guess we can just kind of look at who was on the roster from a year ago and who's no longer there, or even from the start of the season, and start to make conclusions who Anthopoulos is talking about. Can you put the names? Is it that easy, or who are we talking about specifically?
And again, I'm not going to pretend I was behind closed doors and knew what you were talking about here, but I think, if you look at the addition, the subtraction and the addition with this roster over the last 12 months, I think that's a fair conclusion to draw that, Adam Lind's not around anymore. Brett Laurie's not around anymore. Casey Jansen's not around anymore. Jose Reyes isn't around anymore. Although that was more of a baseball decision than anything, I think. But, you look at some of the guys that they let go over the winter or traded over the winter who still, as baseball players, had value.
Rasmus and Happ would be a couple, right?
Yeah, there's two. Well, and Rasmus for sure. Happ, that was a pretty good baseball trade, but I honestly never got the sense that he was a guy they had issues with. But I don't know. But add those. Certainly Rasmus, a guy who was just a bit of an enigma. I don't think they had any clue in the end. Any more of a clue in the end what made him tick than they did the day he arrived.
Pretty amazing when you list off all of those players that he was able to get all of those guys out, either by way of just the contract is over or we're trading you. That's a full overhaul of the lineup.
Yep, it is. And, for all of the kudos Alex Anthopoulos is going to get for the guys he brought in and the guys he signed, some of his greatest moves have been the other way. They're like going right back to the Vernon Wells contract. Some of the addition by subtraction, might be his greatest accomplishment in the, in his tenure as GM.
You talk about, well, your fuzzy memory of the back in the day when the team maybe didn't get along as well as this team. But in hockey, I don't ever remember hearing about a team actually winning that wasn't kind of team first. Is it a sport specific thing?
But don't you think it's a chicken and egg thing, right? That's what I wonder about sometimes, right? That it's, if you're really good, it's easy to be team first. And if you're winning, it's easy to be team first and easy to be happy and, you know, easy to, that the guy sitting next to you, if there's something about him that bugs you, if you're winning, it doesn't bug you as much. But if you're losing, the little stuff starts to get to you. You know, and it's the same with coaches, you know, and how you feel about the guy, how you feel about your boss. If it's a good situation, everybody's happy, everybody's thriving, yeah, you'll tolerate a lot of stuff. But if it's really, you know, if a team, I've never, put it this way, I've never been around a team where everybody loved each other that was bad. And I'm not sure it's the lack of love that made them bad or the fact that they were bad created the lack of love. I tend to think the latter.
Stephen Brutt, as always, here on a Friday morning on Boomer and Warner in the morning, Sports at 960 The Fan.
Hey, Stephen, thoughts on David Price? He was slated to go last night, did not, and rather than getting a tune-up start this weekend to set him up with the perfect amount of rest for the playoff opener, they're just going to leave him alone. It's going to be 11 days between starts. Mm-hmm. Just thoughts on that. Is this common, and what do you make of it?
It's not super common. I have to think it's what David Price wants, because I think if David Price had wanted to start one more time, they would have put him out there, and even, you know, maybe just for, like they did with Ari Dickey the other day, give him five innings and let him just kind of shake the rust out. But clearly that's what he wants. And, you know, I think if you're John Gibbons, Alex Anthopoulos, you're going to defer to David Price's wishes here. You know, he knows himself and knows his arm better than anybody else does. So, and it's pretty clear with how they played out the last 24 hours that their priority is about setting things up as best they can for the LDS and the LCS and whatever might come after that, rather than whatever's going to happen in the next few days. Right there, the whole home field thing and, you know, finishing ahead of Kansas City is, they don't seem to care. You know, that is not a priority. They're not doing anything right now to, they may still wind up there because they still control their own destiny in those three games in Tampa. But, you know, if you kind of look at the way things are laid out here, that's, They're not thinking that way, and it seems to be, the priority seems to be getting guys as healthy as they can, taking advantage of the extra couple of days you get because you're not in the wild card, and you know, making sure that the team is as fresh as it can possibly be when they start that series. And again, I would just assume that that's, you know, whatever David Price wants here is what David Price gets.
And the odds are you're not going to see a Game 7 against Kansas City where, darn, I wish we had home field. I mean, that might happen, but certainly it's more likely that you could face another team in a series doesn't go seven games, or one with Kansas City that's over in five or six.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly the calculation that they said. Yeah, it would be nice, and, you know, we're like most teams, they've got a better home record than away record. But you know, if it comes down to, you know, having to work guys hard in the last, is it really worth it working guys hard in the last 4 days to get something you might not even use? And, you know, some of the home field stuff you can also kind of stage manage. I mean, like, for instance, Ari Dickey is a lot better in the dome, that where you can control conditions rather than outdoors, and you can't. So you may, you know, so maybe you set up your rotation that way, and it's Price, Stroman, and then Dickey in game three, you know, if you have to start a series on the road. I assume that's what they would do, is that, you know, adjust for the circumstances if they have to.
Has Kansas City pulled back on trying to win? Do you know what I mean? Like, why is it not as important to the Jays? And just on another thought, is it not important to keep the foot down?
Well, you know, Kansas City's just trying. It's had a crappy month, so I think they're just trying to play good baseball. They haven't played very good baseball in September. You know, that said, there's lots of, you can go back, you know, you can look it up, one of those things that, there are a lot of cases of teams kind of stumbling through September into the playoffs, teams, especially teams that have been good all year. Because, you know, if you make the playoffs out of 162 games, you're a good team. There's not a lot of flukes in baseball. But there are examples of teams that, you know, kind of stumbled down the stretch and then were just fine when they got to the postseason. But I do think, you know, you watch Kansas City's got some injuries that have hurt them. They've got some guys who look tired, you know, and I think they're trying to, they're certainly not doing what the Jays are doing in terms of, you know, sitting guys down. But I get the feeling that, again, they're just trying to kind of get that team looking the way it looked every other month of the season. And I guess we'll see over the weekend, you know, whether they push it absolutely to the limit to get home field. I don't think they do it either.
The funny thing is, when they moved that start time Thursday night to Thursday afternoon, that was three games of 24 hours. And Givens has taken quite a beating for this. Are people really wanting to see Russell Martin three times in 24 hours? I mean, that's completely, it doesn't make any sense. These guys need rest, and there's a lot of guys that have been playing banged up. This is a chance to get them rest. Now, if you don't have rain issues in Baltimore, maybe it's only one game that you don't dress all your vets. It's just the scheduling put them in a tough spot.
And I think that's a great point, right? Because, look, the second game of the doubleheader, everybody knew if they clinched, they're going to, that's what they were going to do in the second game, you know, for a variety of reasons, but, you know, including the fact that on a, you know, kind of a cold, rainy night in Baltimore, you're not going to, you're going to change things up in the second game. You know, they played that doubleheader in New York that really mattered, and they ended up in the extra inning game. You know, they killed guys to win those two games. So you're not going to do that if you've clinched. So that, and you're right, then you have a quick turnaround. You have not just a day game, but a noon start, which of course didn't turn into a noon start because of the rain, but, you know, I think there's also the human being part that I think Gibby's saying, I'm going to let these guys have fun tonight. There's a bunch of guys on this team that have earned this, and if that means they're going to be a little bleary-eyed tomorrow morning, that's fine by me. You know, you can't always bring the whip down. You have to know your guys.
Stephen Brunn, our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The inclusion of the wild card game, to me, I'm not overly, you know, cynical about it. I think it's great. I look forward to next week, the one game playoff. I'm just kind of looking, and it's still kind of amazing that the Houston Astros, who led the AL West for most of the season, have now lost that lead and are just perilously hanging on to a wild card spot. If they fall out because the Angels are one back, the Minnesota Twins are one back, if they fall out there, it's going to be a long off season. First year in the American League, but boy, that's how do you lose sleep over that one?
Well, and they made some moves at the deadline, right, to kind of push themselves to kind of ensure that they ran, which at the time looked like almost almost excessive because they were home and cooled out, it looked like. But I guess the one thing in Houston is that, you know, because they were so bad for so long, one of the happy byproducts of that is that they have a lot, you know, it's a young team by and large. They've got a lot of talent there. They did trade away some prospects at the deadline, but that's a team that's set up to be good for a while. So, you know, if there's kind of a lesson learned out of this one, you're right. They could tumble right out. You know, they lost the division to Texas, or you know, Texas passed them for the division, and now they're hanging on against an Angels team that I don't think is very good, and a Minnesota team that's definitely not very good, but has been really tenacious. If you're a Houston fan, it would feel like a very strange season because, you know, back in July you were probably very relaxed and happy and already planning your October. I think the wild card is great because it keeps teams in. You know, because we're going into the last weekend of the season, we're still talking pennant race, and I wouldn't want my team playing in it because it's a horrible way to end a year after 162. As a neutral, it's, you know, one game boom, winner take all is always fun to watch.
How's the hype machine been out there? I mean, you were in Newfoundland most of the summer. What is it, a month back in the greater Toronto area? I mean, how insane is it for those of us out here that haven't been there?
It's really, you know, there's been a sense, the kind of a building sense, I think, through the summer. Like, people were tuned in and have been tuned into this thing from spring training. But from trade deadline on, it has been like one big, huge crashing wave. And I'm not sure if I've seen anything like that in that short a time. And, you know, right now it's the only game in town. You know, the Leafs are in the preseason. You know, the usual Leaf thing is going on. But it's, you know, it is so much background noise compared to this. And, you know, I think that it's going on other places. You know, you guys can tell me what's going on in Calgary. But, I get the sense that this, you know, they have the, because there's no other baseball team in the country, and because baseball is part of the culture, you know, it's, baseball has been played in Canada as long as it's been played anywhere. It's not a foreign game. I think there's, you can get the kind of national buy-in with these guys that you can't get with any, you'll never get that with any NHL team. You know, if the Flames win the Stanley Cup, you guys would be, you know, your people in your town would be ecstatic. And everybody else would kind of smile, a painful smile, and say, isn't it nice that the Canadian team won again? But if you're a, you know, a Canucks fan or an Oilers fan or a Leafs fan, you're not that happy. Whereas with this one, you know, there's a few old hardcore Expos fans out there, I guess, and there's, you know, people who root for other baseball teams in different parts of Canada. But, you know, most people can kind of give themselves over to this like it's a national team. So it's got a potential to be pretty big, I think, if they win the World Series.
Are you getting your Jeff Matthews jersey on for the game tonight?
This is a tough one, you know. I just feel so bad about this. I hope he has a good game. And there were, you know, in the preseason he looked pretty good, and he knows the extraordinarily complicated Kent Austin offense. But he was so dreadful against Edmonton, and that game was just so gutting in terms of a team that, yeah, kind of thought they were going to win a Grey Cup. It's a little harder to imagine them winning a Grey Cup with Jeff Matthews, but we'll see. You know, they got a great defense. You know, they've got some other good pieces there, but
special teams is okay.
Special teams are fine. Yeah, they're really good. But it's a quarterback league, isn't it? It's a quarterback league. Just ask Ottawa. My God, Henry Burris. Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
That's bizarre.
Completions.
Henry Burris set a CFL record last night with 45 completions. He went 45 of 53. 53. That's crazy.
Who's the best team in the CFL,
yeah,
Steven?
Sorry, I didn't see that one. I didn't anticipate the Henry Burris renaissance this year. I guess I should have bet that one.
I'm busting your chops here, but a month ago you were proclaiming it to the top of your lungs from the highest point on the horizon that the Ticats are the best team in the league. Are they still?
Yes. No, and if Zach Kolaros had not been hurt, we would have been able to settle that tonight. But
and the Stamps, you know, can get healthy
gotta,
too, though, right?
You got to attach a great big asterisk to it now, don't you?
Both teams are hurt, Steven. We have the 15th offensive lineman this year is going to suit up tonight or something crazy.
Yeah, but that's different.
There's no Gary Williams tonight, Steve.
That's right. It's sort of an equivalency, isn't it? Yeah.
Juwan Simpson.
I'm not sure about that.